Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show.
Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's
invisible.
If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like?
Wondering right now where your glasses are? You're probably in the right place.
This show has a mission.
Demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all.
Stuff isn't rocket science, people. Today we are talking to the wonderful Jerry Arbs, who is one of my favorite YouTubers and comedians and awesome guys all the way around. And I discovered you a few years ago, Jerry. Say hi to everybody.
Hello to everybody.
Yeah, so I think the best way to start is to do a better job than I did and tell everybody who you are.
I'm not good at my own credentials, so I make YouTube videos. I'm a hobbyist photographer. And a videographer. That's my real passion, is to make videos, and thus that's kind of how I ended up starting to make them on YouTube. And I guess on YouTube, I'm known mostly for speaking about ADHD. I was diagnosed when I was 14 years old, and since then, I may not be a professional, but I'm a professional at living with it. And I've had, you know, the very scatterbrained thoughts since a young boy, and it's hasn't ceased. It's always been an interesting adventure every day.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, one of the things that I like to do on this show is to, you know, obviously I talk about ADHD or the, you know, the guest host about ADHD, but the point of the show is to show how ADHD, is in the world. It translates into people's lives, into their everyday, because no one is just their ADHD.
That's right. Absolutely. You're not that guy that wears green shoes. You know, you don't introduce yourself as such because you wear green shoes every day. You're a guy, but you happen to have a pair of green shoes.
Right. So, you make videos specifically about ADHD, but you make videos about a lot of things.
Yeah, I have a lot of passions, and I'm driven in a lot of different directions, which is why it's difficult to always make YouTube videos. And a lot of people say, you know, when are you going to make your next one? And I'm like, you know what I'm doing today? I'm changing two fuel pumps in a 1987 BMW. And they go, oh, I didn't know you did that. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't know I did it until I started doing it either. So living as a jack of all trades, you feel like you're going everywhere, and at the same time, you feel like you're going nowhere. I like to do a little of everything. I like to build my own computers. I like to, you know, work on cars and drive old classic cars. So I don't even know where that thought was going.
Well, so you're just a tech guy. It sounds like you're really, you're like, what am I talking about? No, you sound like a real technical guy.
Yeah.
You like the way things work.
I love it. I love to tear things apart, dissect them, and figure out how they work. That includes literally everything that you can see with your eyes. I want to know how it works. I want to know why you ask me certain questions and why people discuss certain things. I like to know how social interactions happen. And I thrive on that. When I meet new people, new personalities, I just like, let's go one-on-one. We'll go for a walk for 10 hours and end up staying up all night. And that, those are the best nights. You know, you go, what were we doing? I have a job tomorrow. But, you know, for that moment in time, you're totally encapsulated with that other person. And I love the one-on-one interaction between people. That's the number one thing.
So how much of that do you get to do spontaneously in your creative work? I mean, do you go out Johnny on the street with your mic? And
I could, but it probably wouldn't be very productive. I'd have a great time, but I don't know if the viewers would want to see what I end up discussing. Maybe they would. I like to think that if people are watching my videos, that they're there more so because of my personality than what I'm talking about sometimes. We all hope for that, but I think that people, I still think that people are coming because of, you know, ADHD, but I think that I would love to do that. I'd love to go around just interviewing people randomly because they would, you know, that would be ideal.
It's an interesting concept. Yeah. I thought about doing it myself, like throw yourself in the middle of New York. And just ask them, like, what do they think about ADHD? They would just, you'd probably get like 1 million different answers.
Yeah. So my version of that would be, because I've never been to New York and I'm kind of a smaller town guy, it would be Jerry gets lost in New York and then interviews people on a search to get home.
This is one of the things I saw. I don't remember. I mean, it must be a YouTube video. I just remember seeing a video where you were talking about where you're from. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful video about Sudbury.
Yes, I did. I shared a video. I think it was created by We Love Up Here. And I shared it to my Facebook page.
That's where I saw it.
Yeah. And you know what? It's like anywhere else. My personal opinion is it's never where you are, it's who you're with. And the people that created that have a really great vision, and they're very ambitious people. And they put together this really great video that really showcases some of the most amazing parts of Sudbury. We're known as the Nickel City because we're known for mining nickel here. And the terrain around us hasn't always been notoriously beautiful, but they've done a lot in the years since the 70s to try to really revamp the look of Sudbury. And I think they've done a really good job. It started as a mining town, but now it seems to be leaning towards, I wouldn't say metropolitan, but I would say like a larger city feel. You know, like the difference between Sudbury and Toronto is, you know, huge.
Right.
I like Sudbury. It's a closely knit, it feels like a town. And I'm from a very small town with a population of 5,500 people. And you can imagine somebody like myself in that small town. It was so small town that
How small was it?
It was so small. And, everybody knew who I was because I was kind of a goofball, and you couldn't do anything without getting in trouble. I remember one time, and she's going to laugh if she hears this, but my stepmom called me literally 2 minutes after blowing a stop sign in my car. And she said, "Listen, I know you're driving like a goofball, cut it out." And I thought, look, where are you right now? Like, how are you even, do you have eyes in the sky? Do you have like drones weren't invented yet? So I don't know how she saw that, but so many people knew who I was, what I drove, where I was. I couldn't go somewhere without somebody being like, "Oh, hey, what's going on?" And you know,
right. Busted everywhere you went.
Every single thing. I used to record everything. I was the guy with the camera in my hand when I was in high school. And a friend of mine, my buddy Lauren, was always driving a little erratically, much like myself. And one time we were trying to drive out of our town, and a cop pulled us over, and he looked into the truck, and he said, "Hey, what are you guys up to?" And we said, nothing. We're just going for a drive. Why'd you pull us over? And he goes, "Well, I know you film silly things, and I know you drive ridiculously. So what are you guys up to? Where are you going? What's the whole game plan here?" And we're like,
"Oh, wow."
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've had a reputation like your whole life.
As a guy with film. Yeah, for sure. And as a goofball, yeah. I like to think I've refined my comedy a little bit. I was so, I will say this, as you were mentioning about living with ADHD, a very overactive mindset, I prefer to call it, but social interactions were always difficult when I was younger. Like it was tough because you say things that are so far ahead of where you are in conversation that people look at you dumbfounded, like, "What are you talking about? Where did that come from?"
Yeah, I remember you saying that in one of your videos, that you're actually, you're thinking of something and your words haven't caught up yet.
Absolutely. And quite often I'll end up stuttering because they're a perfect example. What'll happen is I'll start to talk and I'll be those couple of words ahead and I'll skip a couple of words. Then I'll realize I did, and I'll try to go back, and I just start to stutter really quickly. And I just have to kind of bring the pace down a little bit. Like I have no choice.
Right.
So I like to write, and I like to be as close to the physical world as I can. I know that sounds weird, but what I mean by that is I've got a creative book here. And I like the feeling of leather. I like having a pencil to write on paper. But the problem is when I write, I cannot possibly keep up with the thoughts. So the quality of writing actually goes downhill because the good ideas kind of evade me and I can't keep up. So
maybe that's why you like videos so much. In the moment, you capture everything.
Yeah. If I had a camera on me 24/7, I'd probably have more videos. It's to get into the mindset where you can focus enough to say something that's relevant to something, and then spitting it out properly. You know, like it's not an everyday thing. I couldn't make a video every day. I don't think it would work. But if I drank 6 cups of coffee, maybe. But
your timing is really like that comedic timing that is natural ability. So maybe if you were in a TV show or a stand-up, do you do comedy?
I have thought of doing, I've contemplated doing stand-up comedy a number of times. I know that I enjoy the thrill of being on stage. I used to play in a stage band through high school, and you know, it was 5 or 6 years of it. And every time I would get on a stage, that was my best performance. My mind would go right into overdrive, and the things that I can't think of, even when I'm practicing, would come out perfectly. And
you get in your zone, sort of.
Yeah. The excitement to be on stage is just, it's overwhelming to the point where you're just, you're zone focused on one thing, and you're confident, you're calm, cool, collected. You're having a great time. You've got, you know, people watching you. It's great. So yeah, I've contemplated doing it. I've written a lot of stuff to do stand up, but I've just, oddly enough, I've never made that leap into doing it.
I could totally see you doing that.
I've had people say I should do it.
I'm sure you've had people say that, because it's think, that kind of timing where yeah. It's performer. It's like a performer does that, you know?
I'll tell you one of the most important, what's the word I'm looking for? One of the most important values to me, I think, is that I stay on the same level as the people that I'm talking to. I don't want people to ever get the feeling that I'm talking from above them. I'm a very small town guy. I love people. I love one-on-one. And when I meet people, I love to talk to them. And I try to put that out there. And I've always gotten this feeling that if I do stand up, that I feel like people will think that they might start to think that, you know, like I don't want to be narcissistic in any way and be like, oh, it's all about me. I'm up on stage, but I want to make people laugh.
Oh.
And that's a good feeling. I've always gotten a rise out of making people laugh.
Right. See, to me that, I wouldn't have thought of that aspect. I see what you're saying, but to me, it seems like it's just giving people access to you in a way that people clearly like to have access to. Have many fans on YouTube, on Twitter and Facebook. So, you know, I see that you have interactions with your, you know, quote, fans. So it would just give them more access. In my mind, that's how that would play out. Do you have any great like fan story?
Oh gosh, I've had lots of really interesting people contact me. People that I wouldn't have imagined would watch my videos. Some of the people that are well known in, you know, the television film industry or bigger, you know, companies or corporations, which is really interesting. And again, because I like that social interaction, right? Much like yourself inviting me onto your show, I find that, you know, I don't think I'll ever get used to that feeling of somebody going, would you be interested in doing an interview? And I go, I don't know. What's so interesting about little old me? I'm just, you know.
You're very interesting.
I think such a regular guy that before this interview, I had torn a hole in my pants and I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. You know, like it's like everybody's a regular person. And
everybody is a regular person.
Absolutely. And it's really neat to have these people that are well-known just say, hey, you know, maybe we can learn a little something from each other. I saw your videos and I go, wow, you watch my videos? Like, I'm almost embarrassed. That's, that's so silly. But I don't know where I was going with that thought again. Yeah,
Well, so there's potential that you have more performance video things in the future.
Absolutely. There's a lot of things that I haven't put into videos yet and a lot of things that I don't really discuss. I want my YouTube channel to be beneficial to people. And as much as I want to continue doing it in a very lighthearted sense, which I don't think I have the ability to not, I want to share stories about how I've gotten to where I am, because I was told that some of my videos were played for an ADHD group in Liverpool to groups of kids that go to this class. And I thought, that's crazy. Why would they show that? And I had never thought of this before, but they said, it's because we want to show that an adult can succeed with ADHD.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, I've never considered the fact that, you know, I'm not, you know, I am succeeding, I suppose, you know, I'm doing well. I have a job. I've been at the job I've been at 9 to 5 for over 4 years now. This is my first job like that, but yeah, I never would have thought that when I was.
And that's, you know, also why I wanted you on the show, because it's inspirational. While some people don't know about ADHD or they don't have it themselves, they get to hear about it. But some people with it have struggles that they can't see themselves getting out of. And then when they start to meet, like on my Facebook group, you know, they start to meet each other, they do have hope.
Yeah.
And they go, wow, you're doing that? You're just like me. It's very inspirational. It's like the power there is crazy.
The energy is like bonkers.
Yeah.
And I've got two really good friends that are very, very scatterbrained and like overactive minds. And when we get together, it's just like, it's a storm of energy and excitement. So it's, you know, nothing gets done, but everything gets thought about.
Right.
You know, I'll have a fire outside of my house and, you know, one of my friends will come over and it's just 6 hours of conversation. And then you realize the time has passed and you go, what did we just talk about? Maybe we should have written some of this down, you know? Like, those are the conversations.
That's when you're in the flow. You're just...
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that energy is magic, and it's very intoxicating. But it's very valuable to people. So,
absolutely, yeah.
So these kids, that's so cool that they thought, that, here, look at Jerry.
Yeah, oh, this is a guy that's succeeding, yeah.
And you know what? Kids?
Various ranges from, I think, 10 or 12 to 14 to 16, like, you know, like a before high school and just beginning into high school.
Okay.
And yeah, they had said, I had sent them a message saying, hey, I've been told that you have my videos in your classroom, which is astounding to me. If you want, I'd be more than glad to make you guys a personalized video to your class. You know, if your teacher was, you know, Mr. Smith, I'd say, hi, Mr. Smith, in your class. I'm just, you know, popping in to say hi or whatever you would say in a video. And they said, well, why don't you join us on Wednesday? And I thought, you do know I'm in Canada. I was like, that's tomorrow. I can't get to Liverpool. The magic of the internet, right? You don't know where anybody is.
Right.
But by all means, oh my gosh, I definitely would have gone if I had the ability to get there.
Yeah. So. Oh, that's the coolest. And the funny things that you do, because there's that one video where you do the impressions.
Oh gosh, yeah, I've done a lot of them. I'd like to do another one. You know when you feel like you're on the ball or you're not, like you're in that groove? I wasn't in that groove that day, but I gave it a try. And that's why it says, you know, Canadian guy tries some impressions, because I was like, this is going to go badly.
No, it wasn't bad. But you know, my favorite one.
Which one?
Was Kermit the Frog.
You know what? I loved doing Kermit the Frog, because when you're a teenager, when you can sound like somebody, the first thing you do is, you know, it's funny to your friends to have that character say something that they would never say.
Right.
You know, profanity or something just ridiculous or whatever. And Kermit the Frog is just such a little friendly character that you can't imagine him saying anything.
Can you just like do it right now? Can you say something?
Usually with a little practice, but I can give it a shot. I'm Kermit the Frog reporting here with Jenny Friedman on her television show here in New York City. It's not bad, but it could use some work.
I think it's very good.
And I, you know, you always crave to do the most popular, you know, cartoon character, and at the time it was, you know, The Simpsons, when, you know, a couple of years back, and I could never do Homer Simpson. And then when I realized that Peter Griffin was, you know, the next big cartoon character to try to do, I was doing a Kermit the Frog and realized that I was doing the same thing with my throat for Peter. And I saw Seth MacFarlane. It was the simplest thing, but imitation is something I've always really enjoyed. And you know, like even singing, if I can sing like somebody, the only reason I could sing even hacking something together is because I've been impersonating singers forever, joking around in my car, driving around. But I saw Seth MacFarlane do Peter's voice, and he said his S is not like an S. He said Esh. And I realized a long time ago that getting an impression bang on wasn't actually sounding a whole lot like them. It was first getting their accent. So I would watch the person do their mouth. And then when he said something as Peter Griffin, he said, you know, like, holy crap. But he went, you know, holy crap. And it was, the mouth went sideways. And I thought, sure. That's Peter Griffin, and like he's got a deeper voice than I do. But I started working on it. I'm like, you get that second where you're like, I just sounded like Peter Griffin, and then your life is consumed by it. You're like, well, I'm going to be in my house for the next 4 days.
Right?
What did you accomplish? You know, homework? Anything? No. But I can sound like Peter Griffin, and your parents are like, oh no.
Yeah, but that, see, now that's a little nuance that a lot of people wouldn't catch. That the way you hold your mouth, the way someone forms their words, is what actually helps make the sound.
That's right, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I mean, if somebody were to say, how do you do Peter Griffin? I'd say, I have no idea. I don't even know what his accent is. It's like a mishmash of three. It's like, so how you doing? Like, he's like, how you doing? He's always asking questions in a really weird tone. And once I got it, I thought, man.
Yeah, no, you definitely got everybody's, even if the, I don't know if the sound wasn't exactly like the person, but the intonation was perfect.
Yeah.
That was like every single person you were talking. I was like, that's really crazy. That's a talent. I don't know how you can monetize
All right, I'll put impressionist on my little list, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's your jack of all trades.
Or, that's right. Yeah. You know. Literally the master of nothing, right?
Well, what's your favorite one?
I really like to entertain people, and I don't do it on a daily basis. You know, when you're in high school, you've got all of your friends around you, so you can be a goofball all day. And I miss that. And a lot of people, you know, like have really changed my type of comedy to like more of a shock comedy where people don't even understand why you're being such a goofball. But if they know you well enough, they know you're just doing it to get a rise out of them.
Yeah.
You know, I would put a shirt on backwards and walk into a room with a really straight face with my hat facing the wrong way. And they would just be like, what are you doing? And be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no, what do you mean? You know?
So that's priceless.
Yeah. I love that. And when
put
people
that on meet, camera.
When people meet you you know what? Here's an interesting fact about me. I think most people would probably assume this, but I'm more serious in person than people think, or more, maybe a deeper thinker than people think. And it's like you said, your background in psychology. I really like to know how people work. And so when people message me on, you know, any social media platform, I'm ready right away to be like, so how did you find me? What was interesting about it? Tell me a little bit more. Like, what are we doing? You know, why are we here?
Right. What makes you tick?
What makes you tick? And I'm like, I always tell them, you know, I'm kind of an open book. Ask me whatever you want. What makes me tick? You know, I'll tell you, you tell me, and we'll figure each other out, and we'll both walk away with hopefully something interesting or inspiring or creative.
Right. Well, what's the thing that people have told you that, I mean, or asked you, like, what's the big question that you most often get?
The most often I'm asked, do I have ADHD? They'll ask me, you know, I have this problem and that problem. Do I have ADHD, or who should I talk to?
Asking you if they have it.
Yeah. And I'll tell them, you know, I say, unfortunately, there are so many, like, again, it's like the guy with the green shoes. You have so many personality traits that even in person, it would be very difficult to know if you have ADHD. And I think one of my big things on my channel that I want to introduce is that I don't believe so fully in calling it ADHD, only because there are so many variables to everybody's personalities that, I mean, we call it ADHD, which is, it's kind of like a shortcut to finding other people that have ADHD. Because if there was no box surrounding those certain symptoms of ADHD, you would never find other like-minded people. So you couldn't figure it out or organize it or, you know.
Right. There was that guy that wrote a book about how there was no such thing as ADHD. But if you read the book, he actually was saying, oh, no, all the symptoms are legitimate, but the name is wrong. And it's like, well, that doesn't mean.
That's right. Exactly.
You know.
That's like saying to me, you know, are you an angry person? Gosh, well, you know, I don't really know. Are you an angry person? I don't know. I don't think I'm an angry person. Do I get mad? Sure, everybody gets mad. What does that make me an angry person? Well, I don't know. There's a lot of other factors in my life that.
Right.
It's a spectrum of ADHD. I know people that have very mild cases, or maybe none at all, or really severe cases. And you think it's the same thing for everything else.
Yeah, it's contextual.
It depends
on where you are, what's going on,
exactly.
And your ADHD will show up differently.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really into what you're doing, you probably don't notice ADHD too much.
Exactly. That's right. And self-awareness is a big thing for me. I've always tried to be as self-aware as I could be. Like I would watch my mannerisms. I would watch my facial expressions. And when I started filming myself, I thought, wow, I'm the least convincing looking person. Even when I have something really serious to tell someone, I look like I'm thinking about 14 things. And then I'm just telling them that serious thing as a side note. And I thought, oh, I got to work on this, you know? Eye contact was always a huge issue with me. I felt that as soon as I made eye contact with somebody, it just got really awkward, or that I was staring, or maybe I wasn't staring, and that was the overactivity of my mind starting to just snowball away, and you look up and down and you're all over the place. So
right. This is something really fascinating, is the self-awareness.
Yeah.
Because I can tell that people that have high self-awareness.
Yep.
Don't have as many challenges with their ADHD. That's a huge component of managing it, if you want to call it that. Yeah. And how do you teach that?
That's a good question. It's very difficult to gain that awareness. I feel like I've always had a certain level of it. But at a certain point, and I'm going to say about 4 or 5 years ago, I really started to really button it down. And that's when I started to make the videos. And I noticed differences now between now and then. You know, that's, I think it's part of aging as well. You gain a little bit more wisdom to what you do and your mistakes and whatnot. So teaching somebody self-awareness is difficult. On a one-on-one basis, I think that if I was given a number of years, I've always thought this in my head. And this is kind of how the YouTube videos started. Gather a large group of people that have these similar attributes to the personalities, start with ADHD, which is, you know, the very far side of that spectrum, then gather them together and realize that not only people that are absent are scatterbrained and over with overactive minds, gather everybody all together from all of society and realize that it's such a small number of people that are self-aware that they don't realize, you know, like what they look like when they're coming off to people.
No, and it's true.
I don't know if it's something that can be taught or just, you know, you kind of have to learn it on your own. You can lead a horse to water, that whole thing. I can show you that these are the facial expressions you're making when you talk to me. Now, you know, what are you going to do about that? Like, you start at the very basic.
I'm sorry to laugh, but I'm like looking at you like, I just got myself and I'm like, oh.
Well, oh, I'm staring.
I'm so, well,
does my face look like that?
Face. I have very stretchy face. I don't know how else to describe it because it's, you know, I make a lot of expressions.
Right.
And it just stretches my face. And then when I see myself doing it, I'm like, oh, what do people think? Like,
yeah. So I have a question for you as part of this interesting conversation. Through taking psychology, do you find any commonalities between people that have ADHD and ADD? Do you find things that you find personally intriguing now that you have a bit of knowledge of psychology? Is there anything that really sticks out prominently to you that, you know, you think is a very important subject? Or,
well, I think that a very in the coach realm, the topic of interest is huge. And they have coaches identify that when you're engaged and interested in something, that the struggles that come with ADHD, they dissipate. They're not set as much of a challenge because you're fully engaged and interested in what you're doing.
That's
and
right.
The doctors, I went to this symposium with doctors about a year ago, a little over a year ago. And I was sitting at lunch with a couple of them and mentioned the interest factor. And they were, that's interesting. And they just sort of blew it off like, yeah, that's very interesting, but not it's not on their radar. And I was like, but that's so key in understanding
absolutely.
Our brains and understanding the psychology of people and why we are so different, because people do have such varied interests. And then in an utopian society, if we could all just do what we were really, like, quote, meant to do or interested in doing and not had to master so much things that we're not good at. Like, I'm not good at math. And if I never had to perform any mathematical calculation, the world would not suffer. I would be better off. The whole world would be better off.
And you and I have that in common. I'm horrible. I mean, embarrassingly horrible with math. I had a hard time in high school with math. And I can tell you, it's the same as playing cards. I don't find math or playing cards interesting because you're using the same numbers that look the same every time. And it just is so repetitive. I don't want to see 0 to 9 for the next hour and a half in class.
Okay, as bad as I am in math, one of my favorite all-time games is Sudoku.
That's a little different though. That really gets your brain working. And I mean,
it's only the numbers that, you know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah.
1 to 9. But man, I can now I'm bragging, but it's one thing I can do. I can place like like the Sunday game is the most challenging one, and I can do it in under like 15 minutes every time now.
No kidding.
Sometimes even like 10 minutes. And I'm like so impressed with myself.
You should be. And I think that you should be proud of the fact that you can do that. You should keep working on it and then become the world champion.
And become the master Sudoku woman. Exactly.
Yeah.
And what I do is I take after I finish it, I take my pen and I write A+ on the top of it.
That's cute.
And I show my husband.
Yeah, look what I did. See that? And I got an A+.
So that's my weird, quirky thing. What's your weird, quirky thing?
Oh, my. The thing that I'm good at?
Like, me grading myself is sort of stupid, but it gets me through the day.
You know what? That's fun. And I think we all need to give ourselves those little nudges in the right direction, right? Even if it's playful.
Right.
What do I think I'm good at? Gee whiz. That's a funny list of really random things.
Do you have like 10 things going on in your head right now?
55, yeah. 55. I like to drive, and I don't say that I'm a good driver. I feel like that's the number one thing that causes people to be bad drivers, is every time someone says, no, I'm a good driver, I feel like those are the worst drivers. But my own preference, I really like to drive. There isn't much that I haven't done behind the wheel of a car. I've driven a car quickly. I've jumped a car. I've rally slid. I've done reverse 180s. I've done just about everything in all terrains that I could find. The only thing I haven't done is driven a car up on two wheels. And I was actually going to keep an old car that I had just sitting around that was still road legal. And we were going to get some ramps and just try to find a place to do it and kind of make it an event just for fun.
Oh, yeah.
But I just, you know what I thought? I'm keeping this car for the stupidest reason ever. So I should probably just get rid of it. So, yeah, I didn't do that. But, yeah, driving is one of them. I've owned a lot of vehicles in the short time I've been on our planet. And anybody that knows me knows that.
Right. You said you like the old, you like collectible, older cars.
I've had a variety of different cars, but only because in the back of my mind, I think that I'm making money or saving money by doing my own work. And I haven't spent a lot on vehicles, but between you, I, and whoever's listening to this, I've owned 13.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
For my age, yeah, I think that's a lot. I've owned parts cars that I bought, one that didn't have an engine, but the other ones were all running vehicles. I had a motorcycle in there, and I had to learn how to do work on a motorcycle as well, which was totally new to me. At one point, I had the bike fall off of a chain and collapse onto me, but my mom was there to laugh and cheer me on.
Is that video with the mic, with the motorcycle, is that you?
Oh, that is online. Yeah, that's me. That's me doing a circle.
Yeah, you could hurt yourself, you know.
Absolutely, but I never did. I think there's a fine line between driving erratically and pushing your limits and getting over that limit and then ending up in an accident. So,
right. Is driving also because you like the movement?
I like the control and the adrenaline rush that you can get from it. Using a vehicle as kind of an extension of your own body, I've always wished I could be a stunt driver in something. And totally by chance, I did a short film called Con Games with a great group of people and Steve Gagne. And oddly enough, the stunt driver who was doing the stunts ended up in the hospital, not for the reasons that it sounds like, not because of a driving accident. But I said, hey, listen, I don't know if you guys know this, but I really like to drive, which this probably just sounds insane, you know, from this guy that does everything. Oh, but I can drive too.
And I was a stuntman.
Yeah. So, yeah, I ended up doing some pretty specific stunt driving inside a parking garage where I had to slide the car around and hit a guy. And so, yeah, so they tested it. They said, can you do this? And I said, yeah, here, we'll put a little water bottle down. And I said, I'll slide the car sideways 90 degrees and I'll hit that water bottle with the back tire. So I did it two or three times and he says, okay, I trust you. Let's do it. And we just shot these scenes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we ended up doing that. And there's another scene where he was on the hood of the car and I had to kind of fly towards the cameraman laying on the ground and we had to lock up the brakes and he had to fall off the hood at about 30 kilometers an hour and roll towards the camera without hitting him. So they were specific enough for someone who doesn't have training in that stuff.
That's what I'm thinking. It's like you had no training in this.
But I test the vehicle. I say, listen, I'm going to do a couple of runs, make sure that your brakes work, you know, test it out so no one does get hurt, right? And then, you know, have a couple of safeguards. And yeah, it was awesome.
Wow.
So, yeah, driving is definitely one of the
everybody things. Don't try this at home.
Yeah, I would highly recommend against it. There are so many things that could go wrong if you don't know a vehicle, specifically if it's not your vehicle, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow. All right. So what else? Tell me what you tell me what you want people to know about you.
I want people to know that partially about me, but about other people. And this will probably come into a YouTube video. I'm just trying to figure out how to tell the story appropriately. That I want everyone to know that their goals and dreams in life can all be attained. That when you have ADHD that, or ADD or, you know, problems of any sort like that, you can overcome them in time with perseverance. I've gone through some pretty interesting things in my lifetime here that I haven't really much discussed on my YouTube channel. And I want to give that information out as kind of a mile marker so that people can see that somebody that they see is very successful on YouTube, you know, that he didn't get there because there was a handout or, you know, it was just easy for him and that his ADHD is not that bad. And I struggled with jobs like anybody else did. I had one job for a week and then, you know, I got let go because I just couldn't keep focused. And I've done many different types of jobs. I just want people to know that, you know, keeping your chin up, that old expression, keeping a smile on your face and persevering through all the hard times, you do have a lot of power, and a lot of that power has to do with what you can do in your mind. I'm a big adventurer intellectually in my own mind to see what kind of boundaries I can push. If I'm not comfortable, maybe I should try to do that thing to see what happens. And that would be one of the things I would do trying to be up on stage. I feel like I'd be very nervous, but I don't know that I would be nervous. I've tried things that I didn't think I would do. I've tried parasailing and I'm afraid of heights, but I did it to just force myself into a situation and see what's my mind going to do here. And I'll talk my way through it. I brought a video camera because that's the only way I knew that I would stay sane, is if I thought someone's going to watch this. Don't look like a crazy person. So I brought my camera up parasailing with me and I filmed. And then when my battery died, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Oh, the only thing, my vice is gone. The thing that was helping me is gone now. That challenging yourself, being very self-aware was the start of it. So,
you know, you just said something that was so key also, and that is the self-talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that has a lot to do with self-awareness, that self-talk to yourself. You just said something about talking yourself through.
Yeah.
We all do that. But when you really listen to what you're saying to yourself,
I think that people that have an overactive mind have one really great quality in common. And it's that sometimes they'll hyper-focus or super-focus on a certain thing. That can be great. But I think that also lots of things in life need to be taken as a grain of salt. It just has to be. I'll do a lot of research. Like I read the book, The Power of Now, and there were certain bits that I took from that that I absolutely loved and other parts that I just couldn't associate myself with at all. And I think that's, you know, I think that that ability took me a long time to figure out how to do. I would take so much for face value. And then I would try to tell people these things that I've learned that really didn't apply to them or me for that matter. But, you know, I was so sure that I would try to teach people that stuff. So I'm very aware of that on my YouTube channel. I try not to force information down anybody's throat saying, this is the way it is. I definitely don't think it's the same for anybody. But I do think that through the power of, you know, our thoughts, I think that we can change a lot. And I think that that amount is so significantly more than people would imagine. And I say that because I can't believe where I am in life in comparison to where I thought that I could get. The other thing that you were asking me about was, what are the two most common questions that people ask me? One is, do I have ADHD? The other one was, I can't believe how much you're like me. It wasn't really a question. It's a comment. And they say, thank you for making the videos because I feel like there's someone out there that understands me. And I think that that was a large reason that I made the YouTube channel, was so that it was initially, you know, I was like, how many other people have this? And then when it started to kind of funnel in, I thought, my goodness, this is not just a good tool to be on the internet to put a message out, but it's for people to find me and have messages come in. And I've learned a lot about ADHD from the people that are contacting me. So I always encourage people to send me a message, send me an email. You know, if I could give out my number and not explode, I would love to do that too. And just slowly, you know, pick up each call and just talk to everyone. It would be great when you find them that they're so like-minded. When people find you through your video, the people that connect with you right away, you almost always get along with because they have those common interests with you. Mm. The people that take the time to go, I'm going to actually message this guy, it's always an interesting conversation. Much like yourself. You said, you like my comedy or my personality or certain aspects of what I am. And as soon as I started talking to you, I thought, you know, we could go for a walk and probably talk for hours and both enjoy each other's company because we have that like-minded, you know, quick right. personality.
And, there's a resonance there.
Yeah.
People
yeah,
hear parallels. You. The people that are supposed to right. hear you. Like,
that's right. Okay. I know what you're saying.
I'm not saying it right. I'm not saying it yeah. near as eloquently, but
you'll resonate with the people that it's important to resonate with.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of noise out there. A lot of people say things that may seem the same,
yeah.
but your voice individually, my voice individually will, the person who's supposed to hear it will. Yeah. I have faith in that. Yeah. That's, yep. I got to tell you, you're doing big things. You're going to continue to do big things. I am thrilled you came on the show and I hope you come back after you do more big things.
I'd be more than glad to come back. It's super great talking to you. And I hope that we can keep in correspondence over the next while for sure.
Do me a favor, because I'm going to put it in the show notes, but make sure, mention how people can find you.
You can find me on, I have a Facebook page, which is under the name Jerry Arbs. Most things, if you Google, it's always under the same name, Jerry Arbs. And I'm hoping to unveil a website, which you're the first person to hear about. It'll be jerryarbs.ca. And I'm hoping to have some really interesting material for people to find there based on ADHD and all kinds of interesting things to go and find there anyhow.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, we don't have enough. When people say, oh, there's this and there's that about ADHD, there's people getting diagnosed every day and there's still millions of people undiagnosed.
That's
there's
right. You would think that the keyword ADHD would bring up the relevant stuff you're looking for, but it's so hit and miss. And
well, and some people don't even realize. They go, well, that's not me. But then later on they find out, oh, that is me. You know,
yeah, so, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Thank you.
I appreciate every moment of this. This is fantastic.
Oh, cool. All right. So I'll talk to you later. Bye. Okay.
Thanks, Jenny.
Wow. That was so awesome. Please be sure and check Jerry out on his YouTube channel, at Facebook, on Twitter. He is Jerry Arbs everywhere you go and everywhere you want to be. Hopefully he'll be back real soon to do another show. And I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the show, CNADHD Talk Radio. You've been leaving ratings and reviews, and I want to thank you. If you haven't yet done it, be sure and go to iTunes. Click, rate, review. Many of you have also reached out to me on Twitter. It's been a fabulous response, and I'm real excited to keep putting out great shows that you want to hear. If you have an idea, or if you'd like to be on the show yourself, make sure you reach out to me and we can get that set up. And remember, whether you have ADHD yourself, or you just live with or love someone else who does, we're all in it together, and everybody benefits when we see through the other's eyes.